Our next presenter is Deanna Lewis. She'll be speaking on the mobilizing health promotion for underserved women. And this is Deanna's bio. Just one second here. Flip pages. Thank you. So Ms. Lewis is the founder of DeQuinish, a nonprofit 501(c) mobile health clinic. A physician assistant for the past 8 years, her emphasis in healthcare is the medically underserved. She serves as laboratory director for the Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation, a point-of-care HIV testing program which provides HIV prevention counseling in conjunction with rapid testing. Ms. Lewis also serves as a consultant and educator in the context of community partnerships and multi-agency collaborations.
Good afternoon. Thank you to my colleagues for attending. And so I was prepared to do the presentation just to the presenters and the moderators because it is the last session. There's a huge parade and I didn't think anyone else would come. And so with that being said, I have no relationships to disclose. And I'd also like to thank my partners in this particular project, Deirdre DeMars from Mezcoff, Luis Ortega, Michelle Shields, Karen Heckart, and John Ahiri. The learning objectives, but I think out of the three, the most important actually is what are opportunities for expansion and sustainability. And when we look at funding, which is usually the source of how we do our programs, it eventually ends. And so there's always that problem of how do we continue to do what we do? And I'll go through the first set of slides kind of quickly, and again thinking that I was just going to be talking to the seven of you, I thought that it was really important that, like, how do we come up with a model that actually continues the work that we've been doing, because there's a common thread in everything that we've been doing and everything that we've been set. So with that being said, there's the common thread. And so what we did with ours is we looked at some organizations. Well, first we just thought, well, this would be a great idea to have an intern, find out what her interests are, and see if we could create an internship out of it. I mean, it was really that simple. And so she has recently graduated, but at the time she was an MPH student. So we had our obvious partner, which is the College of Public Health at the University of Arizona. And one of the things we decided to do is we thought it was important to see what are the vision and mission statements of the organizations, because if you have a vision and mission statement, then what that means is someone has committed something in writing, and if they've committed in writing, then you can sort of hold them to it, right? It's sort of like it's a contract. And so DeQuinish's mission, but their vision is mobilizing healthcare. Emerge essentially provides shelter for women and children of domestic abuse. And SAFE does HIV testing in the community. And so when we looked at those four organizations, we're like, okay, we've got women who are medically underserved. We have an organization that does HIV testing. We have an organization that has a mobile clinic and volunteers that can take the testers to the shelter for the women. And we have an intern that's willing to do all the footwork, which include a needs assessment, focus groups, developing questionnaires, so on and so forth. So it was like, okay, so you take all these things together, and it's like, voila, now we can do something with this. But we found that there's a sort of an equilibrium. And so what you are balancing is this great idea you have of serving the community, because everyone is serving the community in some capacity. And they have to hold true to what their vision and what their mission is. And so it's like, how do you bring them all together in a common theme so that we can help a particular segment of the population? And when you look at those underlying promises to the community from these social organizations that are providing some sort of service, it actually becomes a benefit and a win-win situation for everyone. There also are limitations. During the middle of our implementation of the program, Emerge was going through some infrastructure changes based on diminishing funding, that their current shelters didn't work as well as they thought they could, and so we actually had a little bit of a disruption during the process, which just really points to the ability to be flexible and also the resilience of community-based organizations. So then there was the obvious, right? So this is like, this is a no-brainer. This is like every, all the work that you are doing is, there's the obvious. Like these partnerships work. We can go into communities and we can do really good work. And going back to like, how is it sustainable? How do we make it sustainable? But with our program, what we were able to do is the women in the shelters were receptive to the services. We were able to identify, again, the obvious. They have transportation issues and they have childcare issues. So using a mobile clinic to deliver the services there was a no-brainer. And then we actually, with our partnerships, someone spoke earlier, and I think many of you spoke earlier about how do we leverage these opportunities. So you have four organizations, and it can be many organizations as, I forget your name, I'm sorry, but from the Prevention Institute about, you know, looking at the collaborations and how do we start leveraging the resources that are available, the very limited resources. And so we applied for a grant, and it's called Grants That Make a Difference from Unisource, which is a large utility company that's on the New York Stock Exchange. And I sort of laugh about grants that make a difference, right? So you could think, grants that make a difference, like we're going to make an impact, right? Because we have just outputs, right? Bean counting. We've got this many in and this many out. We have outcomes, but really, how do we make an impact? And so when I think back to grants that make a difference, right, we got $10,000. Okay, their revenues last year were $110 million. Does anyone know what $10,000, what percent that is of 110? The point being is it's really not so much a grant that makes a difference, right? It's a grant that let an intern do a project to go through the steps so that she could get her master's in public health. But it demonstrates that the efficacy of partnerships is crucial, and it's actually quite viable. So when I think of sustainability, when I think of the project that our organization participated in, and I think of many of the projects that are taking place across the nation and universities, they're more or less a drop in the bucket. Even though there's 5 years of funding, 2011 through 2016 in Senegal, that funding may or may not be renewed. But it becomes a drop in the bucket, and how do we make that drop in the bucket actually have more of an impact instead of just becoming part of the safety net? And we utilize, and I think we overutilize the safety net way too much. So I had to throw this in here because, like, this is really important. Like, you're like, I'm not a Giants fan, Deanna, neither am I. I didn't even know who was in the World Series until I got to San Francisco, okay? But there's something to be said about, like, what's going on. So we're staying, my colleagues and I are staying right here on Market. And every time, what I love about San Francisco, let me go back a little bit. What I love about San Francisco is the fact that it's so rich in so many areas of culture. Like, the food is amazing. I've gained 5 pounds since I've been here. But the disparities are equally as great. And so I walk down Market and I see race as a factor of health disparities. I see mental health issues. I see homelessness. I see poverty. I see lack of education. But today, everybody on that street had either a San Francisco Giants hat, jacket, t-shirt, banner, and it included everybody that was there. And so I think that there's something to be learned about the baseball league or the football league and what they do really well. So I'm here and you all are drinking the Kool-Aid because we all believe in the same thing. So this is a no-brainer. This is easy for me to sell to you. But who is not here? Who is not here that needs to be here? When I think about an activity, one of the games that the mayor that said, let's put a big screen over at the Civic Center so tens of thousands of people can watch the game, right? Like, they closed down Market Street for the parade. So when you look at the agencies that aren't here listening to us speak about what we believe in public health, those are the people that we need to get to the table so that we can really look at the issue of sustainability and the issue of impact. So I thank the Giants for allowing me to use their logo today. But really, when we look at sustainability, I think there's a couple key things. And really what it is the distribution of resources. We have horizontal resources and we have vertical resources. And if you're not familiar, vertical resources is simply just taking where you have a lot of resources and moving them over to areas where there's a low amount of resources. And horizontal resources, nothing more that if I have a 53-year-old African-American and a 53-year-old Caucasian man, and they both go to the ER at the same time with a myocardial infarction, that they get the exact same care. And so that is part of the problems, I think, a couple of the issues that are underlying in how do we sustain our efforts. And so I think it's really important that when we start bringing partners to the table that we're looking at, and it's been done on many fronts, but the government agencies, so the city agencies, but we also start to think about where are we not spending money. We spend a lot of money on research. We get a lot of grants to continue to do research and to report the findings. But when you look at what's going on in the business world, and I can assure you that the work that we do is business, it's corporate, is that we are not doing a good enough job in marketing. The giants do a fabulous job in marketing, and so what we need is perhaps some of the monies that we've been using in research and development is start pulling them, because we're doing a lot of research and we're coming up with the same results, that we do good work, but if we were to take that money and spend it in marketing the way that Apple spends it in marketing, they might be willing to close down the street so that the APHA could have a parade down Market Street. But again, I think it's a far-fetched, or it's not far-fetched, but it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for innovation, and innovation isn't necessarily coming up with the newest, greatest idea. It's sometimes taking what we have and making it work a little bit differently. We have to be able to scale up our programs. They have to be able to be replicated or duplicated. We need to really be solid in our evaluation, and we need to become, the term often we hear is interdisciplinary, but we need to go outside that, and we need to be multidisciplinary. Thank you very much.